Moore, Fox News contributor, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is with us. All right, let's get your overall take on this. I think you would agree they can't run on their record. You can't run on your record. You got to lie, smear, besmirch, slander even, and then weaponize your Justice Department and throw 91 charges against your opponent. I guess that's all you got, right?
Well, and but also, as you point out, they're in a position to simply try to buy votes. Most of the Green Initiative is buying votes. This whole student loan thing is buying votes. The effort they put into rewarding the teachers union is buying votes. When you come down to it, the Democratic Party is a combination of a very, very left-wing ideology and a machine that has to have your money to survive. So I think what they're hoping is that they can get away with breaking the law. You made a point here that really has to be, I think, focused on. The Supreme Court said that what Joe Biden is doing on student loans is unconstitutional. Now, he's the first president I know of who simply ignores the Supreme Court. He wants to give away more of your money. He doesn't care what the court says. In fact, he boasts he doesn't care what the court says. So you have a routine lawbreaking. And my fear, Sean, is when you get to September and October and none of this is working, you can't imagine what they'll do because they have no limits. They don't believe in the rule of law. They believe in the rule of power. They're proving every day that they think they can get away with things that are crazy and that they don't care what the country thinks. And they still have most of the left-wing propaganda media covering for them and protecting them. It's amazing how many things they get away with because nobody at the New York Times or the Washington Post or the three major networks, none of them will go out and take them on. None of them will tell the truth. So people now know that. People know we have way too many illegal immigrants. People know we have too much crime. People know that when they go to the grocery store, they're not able to buy what they used to. And if the price is the same, the size is smaller. If the size is the same, the price is higher. And I think all these things mean that the average American is going to condemn the Biden administration as bad for their lives and bad for America. And I think it's hard to see, other than just plain breaking the law and finding ways, basically, to make Trump in prison. I mean, we just had an election in Senegal. The winner was a reformer who only got out of jail 10 days before the election. And I thought there was certain parallel here. If the Democrats have their way, Donald Trump will spend all of the fall campaign in jail. It is despicable. It's dangerous. It undermines America. And I think every American should be putting pressure on their House and Senate members of both parties to stand up to this tyrannical president who is violating the law every day.
And does it with regularity. The entire 10 million plus illegal immigrants is a case in point about that. And you're right about using taxpayer money to buy votes. I mean, that's, you know, clearly and defying the U.S. Supreme Court and not enforcing the laws of the land and picking and choosing which laws you will enforce and which you to choose not to. We know their playbook, though. January 6th, but they'll forget the main details of things that we've learned. Donald Trump did not try to commandeer the vehicle. Donald Trump has four witnesses in the days leading up to January 6th that he was willing to authorize 10,000 troops. And in writing, the D.C. mayor that had to sign off on it, yeah, she said in writing she would not. We know the Capitol Police Chief also was requesting in the days prior National Guard troops. So they'll demagogue January 6th. Then they're going to get to the usual playbook. Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynist. I give the whole list. And then we have the issue of abortion, which I believe hurt Republicans in 2022. And I believe Doug Mastriano was a case in point. And he lost by 16 points. He didn't have exceptions for rape, incest of the mother's life. And that hurt every Republican down ticket. So my question for you is, as the great historian and strategist that you are, what do you tell Republicans? I would argue that they've got to, if they're being lied about on abortion, they better match every Democratic lie with the truth in an ad or however else they are messaging this, or they will risk being positioned by the Democrats. What is your advice?
My advice is to listen to Donald Trump. Trump has laid out a perfectly rational strategy, which, by the way, Judge Ginsburg said back in the early 1990s in a speech that she thought Roe versus Wade was wrong because it took the decision of abortion away from the American people and gave it to a group of lawyers. So in a funny way, he and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are on the same side. Let the American people decide. Different states will have different decisions. And I must say, most of the right-to-life leaders understand exactly what President Trump's trying to do. He is trying to reach the largest possible number of babies saved. He's trying to create the best possible environment in the current culture and in the current laws. And he's doing it in a way which is extraordinarily pro-life without alienating people with the kind of fear-mongering the Democrats have. I thought what he did, his statement, was exactly right. And I think people will read it carefully and think about it. We are a country that has to have this conversation. I personally, and as you know, Calista is very deeply committed to life. I personally would like to have the fewest possible abortions, period. We were very pleased to go to the 50th anniversary of a pregnancy group in Florida that has saved 23,000 lives during the history of the group. I compare that to Kamala Harris going to an abortion clinic where they're killing babies. I think the contrast can't be deeper, and I think Trump is exactly in the right place. And by the way, on most issues, Trump's understanding intuitively of where the American people are is better than any Republican pollster or professional. And I think candidates ought to pay attention, just as I used to do with Ronald Reagan. They ought to pay attention to what President Trump is saying, try to figure out why he's saying it, and see to what degree they can learn by watching, I think, one of the most extraordinary political leaders of my lifetime.
Speaker Gingrich, always great to have you. Thank you, sir. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
All right, joining us now, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and Fox News contributor. Newt, they know how to grow the economy. They actually do, because Trump was doing it. But they decided to do the opposite at the beginning of 2021. This is their policy, is it not?
Sure. Look, you have to understand that the weird elements of the Democratic Party are now dominant, and they live in a fantasy world. And the only way they can survive is convincing the rest of us that their fantasy is okay. We were struck on Good Friday. We went by McDonald's and picked up filet of fish, which is now about half the size of the filet of fish before Biden. Every time you turn around, you're reminded that these policies of the Biden Democrats do not work. Well, not a matter of ideology. You can't build enough electric cars that people want, which is why there are now thousands of cars sitting on lots. The head of Hertz lost his job for buying too many electric cars. The average American is saying, no, I don't want it. And the answer on the weird left is, we don't care. We're going to impose it. We're going to make you do it. And you have people like Buttigieg, who combines being ignorant with being arrogant in a way that's, I think, pretty breathtaking for a cabinet officer.
Well, and also, Newt, I think you and I predicted this at the time, but the Biden administration also failed to live up to another promise. Watch this.
You guys started draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy.
Okay, Newt. She's acting like the Department of Energy is like a separate government in a separate country. Okay. Huh. They knew what they were doing when they drained the reserve, did they not?
Of course. Of course. Look, first of all, let's be fair. She is the worst press secretary in history. But since she's trying to defend the worst administration's policies, she doesn't really have much of a fighting chance. The left doesn't like oil. It doesn't like gas. It has a fantasy belief that between wind and solar, you can give up everything else. It's totally false. It's literally physically impossible. And yet, they chant, get together, have a cocktail party, and convince themselves that they're right. This administration desperately sold at a time people told them not to, the oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, trying to keep the price down for political reasons. Now they can't refill it because the price is going back up, and it doesn't fit their values. They don't care if we run out of oil. What they care about is some fantasy world in which you and I will somehow get by on their theoretical inventions of technologies that don't work.
But, Newt, this is why they love the COVID lockdowns, right? I'm here in California. I'm surprised the state ever opened, frankly. I mean, maybe they were chasing people on the beach. It was so embarrassing, but they wanted to condition people to stay at home, hunker down, the new normal, travel less, just don't expect more. Just be put, stay put. I really think they thought people were going to be okay with that long term. Thank God we had Florida, Texas, and all the other red states that said, to hell with you, we're opening up.
You know, it's really strange. All across the modern industrial world, COVID became the excuse for the political elites to suddenly become really, really powerful. And they loved it. They also cheated on all of it. I mean, you had Governor Whitmer, whose husband was taking a boat out when it was illegal to take boats. You had all sorts of things going on. But from their standpoint, COVID was the great opportunity
to they
truly control Americans.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the best thing ever
exactly
for them.
Right.
Uber Eats, sit at home in your sweatpants all day, like wait for the next Uber Eats and check from the government. I mean, this is socialism on display. They loved it.
And the fact is, it didn't work. Most Americans know it didn't work. The damage to our children by closing the schools has been horrendous. And I think, frankly, part of the reaction we're seeing that leads to a Donald Trump victory is people are sick of politicians who not only dictate what you should do, but then cheat and don't do it themselves. So they set up rules for you because they know they're not going to obey the very rules that they're creating.
Newt, I want to play one soundbite from President Biden today, where, again, he thinks this is all a messaging problem. So they're trying out new messaging. Watch.
We have to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. I mean, this is from the bottom of my heart. We're united. There's nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. We're the only nation as a student in history that I can find that's come out of every crisis we've entered stronger than we went in.
Well, Newt, that's just false. The polls show that people think we're not better off than we were in 2019 before the pandemic. We're worse off by almost every measure.
But I agree with his conclusion that after we defeat Biden and we defeat the weird left, we will, in fact, come out of this in the next 10 years dramatically stronger. It's just not the outcome he expects. Look, this is a guy who, for some reason, sold out to the hard left on everything. I mean, that's how you end up with a transgender day on Easter. I mean, do you know how hard it is to make a mistake like that? And you go down every single front, he's doing things that make no sense. Doubling and tripling down on electric vehicles when the American people are saying every way they know how. It's a 6% market. It's not a nice, not a 100% market.
Newt, it's so great to see you. You and I remember California when they had Republican governors and the state was like surfing USA all the time. All right, Newt, great to see you.
Since the beginning of the human race, families have been the foundation of our species' survival. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and siblings have helped feed, protect, and educate their fellow humans. who they share common ancestry with. Families maintain cultural norms and customs, offer emotional and even financial support if one of their members falls on hard times. Families have been the center point of civilization, and everyone instinctively knows they are the most important thing in life. But now our modern society is plagued by broken families missing tight-knit social structures, which is causing a cascading failure that is having devastating effects emotionally and financially that reverberate throughout the entire country. It's largely due to single mothers, no offense if you are one or were raised by one, many of which were raised by single mothers themselves, compounding the problem. Working mothers who turn their children over to strangers at daycare centers so they can go sit in a cubicle behind a computer for 8 hours a stretch only contributes to the breakdown, a situation which is impossible to avoid for most families because of the current cost of living. The ideal single family income with a stay-at-home mom of the 1950s is sadly a bygone era in America. Parents used to be able to even trust leaving their children alone in front of the television when Sesame Street or Barney and Friends were on to keep them entertained while the mom did laundry, cleaned the house, or got dinner ready. But today, the major brand name television stations are cultural poison, and toddlers are given internet-connected devices to play games and watch cartoons, which are covertly being used to indoctrinate them with enemy propaganda before they can even talk. Political science professor James Kurth once wrote, "The great movement of the second half of the 19th century was the movement of men from the farm to the factory. The greatest movement of the second half of the 20th century has been the movement of women from the home to the office. This movement," he said, "separates the parents from the children as well as enabling the wife to separate herself from the husband. By splitting the nuclear family, it is helping bring about the replacement of the nuclear family with the non-family. TikTok stars, teachers, and traditional Hollywood celebrities have mostly replaced parents as the primary influence on children's lives. And now that we're into the third generation of nearly half of all children growing up in broken homes where the parents have separated or were never married in the first place, perhaps out of spite from being raised in dysfunctional families, many liberals today are vehemently anti-family and despise what was once the cultural norm, like Edward Norton's character in Fight Club, who felt like destroying something beautiful because of his nihilism." The official website for the Black Lives Matter movement explained one of their goals was to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. Not preserve, protect, or restore, but to disrupt and dismantle it. Of course, if there's any demographic group that needs a little improvement in their family structure, it's, well, their community. But hey, just keep on doing what you've been doing. The 75% fatherless home rate has done wonders for your culture. At a TEDx talk, a popular forum for supposed experts to present their ideas, feminist Mirav McKinley detailed why she wants marriage to be abolished.
"We must cancel marriage. Not only religious marriage. Marriage is not an issue of religion. Also civil marriage. I want all secular states to totally eliminate all registration and regulation of marriage. I want to cancel the very concept of marriage."
Cancel marriage, she says, and she certainly isn't alone. Feminist activist and lesbian Masha Gessen once admitted that the left's goal of legalizing gay marriage was to eventually eliminate marriage and monogamous relationships altogether, saying this.
Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist. I don't like taking part in creating fictions about my life. That's sort of not what I had in mind when I came out 30 years ago. It's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that.
She's a contributor for the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, and numerous other mainstream publications. So she's not just some fringe feminist on TikTok. She is one of the establishment's premier LGBTQ activists who now uses they-them pronouns to be extra woke. There is a relentless assault on intimate and committed relationships, not to mention gender norms and heterosexuality in general. And aside from the moral decay in society, technology is making it easier than ever for people to shop around for one-night stands and swipe through dating apps to see if the grass appears greener elsewhere. Feminism isn't about equal rights for women anymore, and it hasn't been for generations. It's about disrupting the social order and the division of labor and the partnerships between the two sexes. It is attempting to suppress the natural instincts of women and turn them against men, or the patriarchy, as feminists say, and even against the idea of being mothers. Feminism has meant different things depending on the time period, and it's gone through four different phases, or waves as they're called, since the early 1900s, when groups of women banded together to demand the right to vote, called women's suffrage, resulting in the 19th Amendment passing in 1919. The 1960s and 70s marked the second wave, where groups of women demanded that they be given more political positions and worked to legalize abortion, succeeding in 1973's Roe v. Wade decision. But many feminists still weren't happy, so they continued complaining about things, which led to the third wave in the 1990s, where they demanded even more women be given leadership positions in government and business, while simultaneously complaining about men objectifying them as they boosted their sex appeal through every means possible in order to use their sexuality to their advantage, since they know that men are innately suckers for any beautiful woman's requests. Then around 2012, the fourth wave of feminism arose due to the advent of social media, which allowed angry and ugly women across the country to connect with each other online and affirm each other's maladjustments and abnormal ideas, culminating in new causes like celebrating abortions, obesity, and their periods. Stuck in online echo chambers, most fourth wave feminists, who are usually rainbow people with blue hair, which is used to signal to others that's who they are, these women usually find themselves trapped in a downward spiral of hating normal women, especially beautiful ones, and white women, for existing, and are so spiteful of their happiness, marriages, and motherhood, that the fourth wave feminists are determined to tear down every institution and social norm that embraces such lifestyles. The annual Women's March that's held every year in Washington, D.C., isn't about women's rights. It's a feminist parade. This is where Madonna voiced her fantasies about doing you-know-what to the White House after Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton for the presidency, and where actress Ashley Judd did her famous rant about her period and having to pay sales tax when she buys tampons. The feminists today who constantly whine about imaginary problems like men supposedly making more money than women fail to acknowledge that men often work jobs which involve much higher safety risks and are exposed to greater physical and health hazards. Not to mention, they regularly work jobs that involve backbreaking labor like construction, pouring concrete, laying brick, roofing, etc. And also jobs that involve getting dirty, like a mechanic or a garbage man. A Sex and the City writer, the famous show that aired on HBO following the exploits of a group of women living in New York, later said she regrets choosing a career over having children now because she is truly alone. She's worth nearly $20 million, but now she regrets where she placed her priorities when she was younger. Most feminists eventually find themselves in the same position, minus the wealth, realizing that once their looks fade and guys stop paying attention to them, they have no purpose in life and nobody loves them. And of course, hookup apps have cheapened relationships, leading to others being treated as if they're disposable, and virtually ruined dating dynamics, with a massive percentage of men never even asking a girl for her phone number or out on a date in person these days because they're too intimidated. And among the younger generations, there's a new stigma around this because everybody is expected to only slide into the DMs or use an app. One survey of Tinder users found that 2/3 of them were already in a relationship, and many of them were even married, but not all of them were looking to cheat or find someone to dump their partner for. Many of them, it turns out, just crave the attention of others, like those who obsess over their Instagram likes. They're seeking validation through matches on Tinder, even though they never intend to actually meet up with anyone. pathetic. We have some major problems in society, and it's an understatement to say they're getting worse, but I do detail some powerful solutions and explain how things got this bad in the first place in my new book, The War on Conservatives. So order it in paperback from Amazon.com or download the ebook from any of the major ebook stores. And of course, there's a link to the Amazon listing in the description below. So click it and head on over there and check it out.
This is a tale of two democracies, the United States and Israel, and one man who's seeking to destroy both of them. Oh, I know he is a Praetorian Guard media that protect him and attack anybody who challenges him. But Joe Biden is a very diabolical, evil politician who's trying to imprison Donald Trump and clear the political playing field for his reelection. And he's trying to take out Benjamin Netanyahu, remove that government, and install a government that he and the Democrat Party wants in the state of Israel. Joe Biden is at war with two democracies, our country and Israel, and I'm going to prove it. Now, first, let's go through a little bit of history. Joe Biden is behind these investigations against Donald Trump. He's behind all of them. And he sends signals, and his staff sends signals, and his staff has meetings, and they have conversations. Unfortunately, the fulsome nature of this sort of tyranny that's taking place won't be known for years and years and years, maybe when we're all gone, when true historians and true journalists take a look. Let's take a look right now. State of the Union. President Joe Biden reportedly pressured Attorney General Merrick Garland in 2022 to prosecute former President Donald Trump. A New York Times report from April 2022 highlighted Biden's frustration with Garland's approach and his belief that Trump posed a threat to democracy and should be prosecuted. And this is their theme all the time. And he says it, his campaign says it, his political hacks in the media say it because they want to influence the Democrat judges, the Democrat prosecutors, and any future jury pool. So it is a constant public campaign. The Attorney General's deliberative approach has come to frustrate Democratic allies of the White House. And at times, President Biden himself wrote the New York Times. So, of course, at the Department of Justice, they all read the New York Times rather than the Bible. And there it is. As recently as late last year, Mr. Biden confided to his inner circle, this was in the Times, that he believed former President Donald Trump was a threat to democracy and should be prosecuted, according to two people familiar with his comments. And while the president has never communicated his frustrations directly to Mr. Garland, he doesn't have to. The New York Times will do it for him. He has said privately that he wanted Mr. Garland to act less like a ponderous judge and more like a prosecutor who's willing to take decisive action over the events of January 6th. And from that point on, when that article was published, all kinds of things took place and were triggered. Is Trump an insurrectionist, sir? Reporter questioned Biden. I think it's self-evident, Biden said. Whether the 14th Amendment applies, we'll let the court make that decision, he says. But he certainly supported an insurrection, Biden said. No question about it. None. Zero. So there you go. Talking points out to federal law enforcement, federal investigators, and of course, the American media. What about this one? Manhattan DA hires former DOJ official who previously investigated Trump Foundation. Wow. ABC News. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg announced that his office has hired former Justice Department official Matthew Colangelo as senior counsel. Colangelo served in the Department of Justice. He was the Associate Attorney General of the United States, acting, appointed in that slot by Biden. And before that, serving at the Department of Justice in New York Attorney General's office, where he was part of the team that investigated the Trump Foundation, former President Trump's former charity. Colangelo also led the NYAG's opposition to Trump administration's efforts to add citizenship questions to the U.S. Census. So here, the Biden administration sends their hitman to help Letitia James in that outrageous case. He moves from there to the Alvin Bragg case. So he's the lead prosecutor there as a hitman. And by the way, this judge in the case, in the Alvin Bragg case, is a disgrace. He is a rogue, out-of-control Democrat hack with a black robe. He's making statements that are outrageous. He has an unconstitutional gag order to to protect his daughter and other people, not from violence, but being exposed. Donald Trump has a First Amendment constitutional right to speak as a citizen, and even more so as he's running for president as a former president. And everybody else is speaking against him. Everybody else is making allegations. But this judge, whose daughter has raised over $90 million on the case that he is overseeing, monies that have been raised for Adam Schiff and Chuck Schumer's political action committee, he doesn't see any conflict of interest. He's donated to Democrats in the past. These judges in New York, what a disgrace. You got to be nuts to stay in New York if you can get the hell out of there. And so this judge now makes a comment about he's handling a federal insurrection case. This judge is not only a political hack, he's dumb as a doorknob. But it doesn't matter. It's going to be a Democrat jury in Manhattan that hates Donald Trump. They already got the word from Biden. They got the word from the media, and they know what their job is. It's not to do justice. It's to convict. And that's the whole goal here. And of course, with the immunity issue before the U.S. Supreme Court, Trump's lawyers said to this local state, I guess, judge, Judge, let this immunity decision be decided because all this may not matter. No, we're going for it anyway. Why? We have a calendar. What's on the calendar? The election. We have two memos, actually four memos from four previous attorneys general, including the current one, that warn prosecutors not to interfere with an election. And by the way, the case that's being brought in Manhattan is almost identical to the case that was brought by Jack Smith. You may have heard of him. He's back. He's the federal prosecutor that the Biden regime appointed to try and destroy Donald Trump. And that was the case against John Edwards, where they tried to turn a perfectly legitimate donation to his campaign, in which case that donation was used to keep his lover out of sight. And they tried to turn that, did Smith, rewrite the statute that was an illegal campaign contribution that should have been reported a different way. And the jury found in six charges, not guilty or a hung jury with one juror. And the Department of Justice decided not to take that case. Well, guess what? The former Biden employee at the Department of Justice who worked for Letitia James and Al Alvin Bragg, he's dusted it off. He's using the same case because they figure it's a different jury and they got this thing licked. 32 or 34 counts they brought. They figure all they need is one. Let's talk about the Georgia case. Newsweek, there are calls for the White House to reveal details of two 2022 meetings that reportedly took place between its employees and Nathan Wade. Remember him? He is, or was, a special prosecutor working on the Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis Georgia election interference case, which was brought against Trump and 18 other defendants. The filings from Michael Roman, one of the defendants, his case include a bill sent from Wade, the Fulton County DA's office, requesting two payments of $2,000 for separate occasions under the project title Anti-Corruption Special Prosecutor. The first, on May 23, 2022, is labeled Travel to Athens Conference with White House Counsel, for which Wade charged $2,000 for 8 hours of work. The bill read that Wade also had an interview with D.C. White House, quote-unquote, on November 18, 2022, for which he also billed $8,000 at a rate of $250 an hour. That's a long damn meeting. Two long meetings. Biden lawyers. Let's go on. Let's go on to Jack Smith. This guy is unconstitutionally appointed. He was not part of the federal government at the time. So Merrick Garland violates the Appointments Clause of the Constitution because you have to go through a Senate confirmation process. It's different if you're a U.S. attorney. You've already gone through that process. And of course, he can delegate that authority to somebody who's been confirmed by the Senate. Jack Smith never has. He's a rogue prosecutor. That's all he is. And they picked him because he's an out-of-control rogue prosecutor who leaks and leaks and leaks to his friendly media. Here we have cases involving January 6th, the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. Gee, I don't even think Donald Trump was around back then. Boy, that's not insurrection. Then we have the Enron obstruction case. Enron obstruction. There was a statute passed because Enron had destroyed a whole bunch of documents, knowing that they'd eventually be subpoenaed by Congress and federal prosecutors. And so they passed a law to prevent it. So that's the law they're using against Donald Trump and about 500 of the January 6th protesters. U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, he saw this. He said, this is a stretch. It's a stretch of the law beyond its scope to inappropriately apply it in these cases. He ruled that a defendant must have taken, quote, he's quoting from the law, some action with respect to a document, record, or other object. That's quote right out of the statute. To obstruct an official proceeding under the law. So we have a three-judge panel in Washington, D.C. that decides that this applies to Donald Trump and these protesters. Now, who's on this panel? Two Biden appointees. Two out of three. That's not too bad. One of them, Judge Pond, one of the most outrageous political hacks to ever wear a black robe, as a matter of fact. And that's saying something, given the state of the judiciary today. What else happened? Well, this prosecutor went to another Obama judge in the district and insisted that the lead lawyer handling Donald Trump's document case be forced to testify in front of his grand jury. Wait a minute. That's attorney-client privilege. No, they said there's a crime fraud exception, and they had a secret hearing. And they decided that Donald Trump's lawyer had to testify for the prosecution in front of a grand jury and provide all his notes. What do you think of that, folks? We have the fact that he brought an indictment in the documents case in Washington, D.C., but the case was in Florida. He goes, oh, okay, I got the indictment. Now I'll move it to Florida. And I'll get a rubber stamp indictment from a new grand jury that never heard a single witness or testimony. Nothing of the sort. He's trying to cut corners. He demanded that the Supreme Court order a trial take place in front of another Obama judge in Washington, D.C. And the Supreme Court said on the immunity issue, excuse me, it's a complex constitutional issue. You may want to get this done before the election. They didn't put it. I'm reading between the lines. But we don't have to do that. And then we have the espionage case, which is a joke. Espionage. This is a law passed in 1917. It's never been applied against a former president. Wasn't applied against Hillary Clinton. They made excuses for her. Wasn't applied against the certified imbecile, Joe Biden, who violated it over and over and over again. Here's the evidence right here. Look at this. He violated it when he was a senator. He stole documents. When he was a private citizen, he stole documents. When he was a vice president, he stole documents. And he conveyed the classified information to a ghostwriter because he was getting paid $8 million by a publisher, which I say means he sold classified information for $8 million. This is all going on today as they try and put Donald Trump in prison. And they don't care who does it. Multiple charges, multiple outrageous charges, multiple phony judges, Democrat prosecutors. I said there's two countries involved. While Joe Biden's trying to put Donald Trump in prison and his Praetorian Guard media are celebrating, he's also trying to destroy the government in Israel simultaneously and take out Benjamin Netanyahu. There's a piece in JNS by Carolyn Glick. The war rages in the Gaza Strip, northern Israel, Lebanon, Eilat, and on the streets of Israel, cities as Iran's Palestinian, Lebanese, Syrian, Iraqi, and Yemeni proxies maintain and escalate their operations against the Jewish state. Unmoved by this state of affairs, Israel's far left is reinstating the anti-government riots that occurred regularly for the first three quarters of 2023. She goes on later, to be sure there are a number of reasons this is happening, but perhaps the main one was revealed on March 17 by riot leader, the head rioter, Ami Dror, in a WhatsApp group chat with his colleagues. The communication, which Dror authenticated in an interview with Channel 14, was reported on X, Twitter, by a poster who operates under the handle Arabello Tuna Hunter. Stick with me. In that communication, Dror, the head rioter, told his colleagues that the White House was asking them to reinstate the riots. Based on what he referred to as a conversation with his contacts in the White House, Dror set out in granular detail the White House's four-part plan to overthrow the Netanyahu government. The components involved actions on the ground in Gaza, the use of the UN Security Council, extortion of government ministers in the Netanyahu government, and mass protests. Dror called his report an important update from the American administration. He explained that his update followed an earlier text he sent on March 6 on the same topic. Quote, the American plan as I published it on March 6 remains unchanged. The day after my publication, the Biden administration announced the establishment of an American port in Gaza that will seize from Israel the ability to rule the strip. The port will be used initially to provide food, but the central purpose of the port is to rebuild Gaza. The purpose of the U.S. campaign for humanitarian aid, he explained, was twofold. Undermining the control of the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza and blackmailing government ministers. Well, Netanyahu's chief political rival is Gantz. Gantz was summoned to Washington a few weeks ago, and he went because they want to replace Netanyahu with Gantz. So this guy, Dror, the head writer, he said, Gantz wrote, was summoned to the United States for a reprimand. He was humiliated. The Americans said hair-raising things to him. At the start of the war, the Americans demanded that he join the government. He was their man, the man that would ensure that Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir didn't set the world on fire. He came in, he blocked the war in Lebanon, promised that he was going in for 6 weeks, and then he and the protest groups would take the government apart. After 6 weeks, he and Dory promised that by January 1, they would deliver the goods, and in practice, the final deadline the Americans gave him was Ramadan. In other words, overthrow Netanyahu by Ramadan. When he didn't deliver for the U.S., the administration understood that they can't trust Gantz. Maybe he'll be a comfortable prime minister in the future, but the Americans seized full control over management of the war against Netanyahu. And guess what? Gantz announced last week that in September he wants a new election or he's out of the government. And there's other articles on this in Breitbart by our friend Joel Pollack, what's taking place. So Joe Biden is trying to put Donald Trump in prison on multiple fronts so he can win the presidency without a real challenge. And simultaneously, he's trying to drive Netanyahu from office, and he is involved in promoting a civil war in the state of Israel. And now you can understand why he says the things he says, why he funds the organizations he funds. Evil, diabolical, Joe Biden destroying two democracies at the same time.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
All right, joining us now, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and Fox News contributor. Newt, they know how to grow the economy. They actually do, because Trump was doing it. But they decided to do the opposite at the beginning of 2021. This is their policy, is it not?
Sure. Look, you have to understand that the weird elements of the Democratic Party are now dominant, and they live in a fantasy world. And the only way they can survive is convincing the rest of us that their fantasy's okay. We were struck on Good Friday. We went by McDonald's and picked up filet of fish, which is now about half the size of the filet of fish before Biden. Every time you turn around, you're reminded that these policies of the Biden Democrats do not work. Well, no, not a matter of ideology. You can't build enough electric cars that people want, which is why there are now thousands of cars sitting on lots. The head of Hertz lost his job for buying too many electric cars. The average American is saying, no, I don't want it. And the answer on the weird left is, we don't care. We're going to impose it. We're going to make you do it. And you have people like Buttigieg, who combines being ignorant with being arrogant in a way that's, I think, pretty breathtaking for a cabinet officer.
Well, and also, Newt, I think you and I predicted this at the time, but the Biden administration also failed to live up to another promise. Watch this.
You guys started draining the strategic petroleum reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy.
Okay, Newt. She's acting like the Department of Energy is like a separate government in a separate country. Okay, they knew what they were doing when they drained the reserve, did they not?
Of course, of course. Look, first of all, let's be fair. She is the worst press secretary in history. But since she's trying to defend the worst administration's policies, she doesn't really have much of a fighting chance. The left doesn't like oil. It doesn't like gas. It has a fantasy belief that between wind and solar, you can give up everything else. It's totally false. It's literally physically impossible. And yet, they chant, get together, have a cocktail party, and convince themselves that they're right. this administration desperately sold, at a time people told them not to, the oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, trying to keep the price down for political reasons. Now they can't refill it because the price is going back up, and it doesn't fit their values. They don't care if we run out of oil. What they care about is some fantasy world in which you and I will somehow get by on their theoretical inventions of technologies that don't work.
But, Newt, this is why they love the COVID lockdowns, right? I'm here in California. I'm surprised the state ever opened, frankly. I mean, they were chasing people on the beach. It was so embarrassing. But they wanted to condition people to stay at home, hunker down, the new normal, travel less, just don't expect more. Just be put, stay put. I really think they thought people were going to be okay with that long term. Thank God we had Florida, Texas, and all the other red states that said, to hell with you, we're opening up.
You know, it was really strange all across the modern industrial world. COVID became the excuse for the political elites to suddenly become really, really powerful. And they loved it. They also cheated on all of it. I mean, you had Governor Whitmer, whose husband was taking a boat out when it was illegal to take boats. You had all sorts of things going on. But from their standpoint, COVID was the great opportunity
to truly
control Americans.
Yeah, and I mean, this was the best thing ever
exactly
for them.
Right.
Uber Eats, sit at home on your sweatpants all day, like wait for the next Uber Eats and check from the government. I mean, this is socialism on display. They loved it.
And the fact is, it didn't work. Most Americans know it didn't work. The damage to our children by closing the schools has been horrendous. And I think, frankly, part of the reaction we're seeing that leads to a Donald Trump victory is people are sick of politicians who not only dictate what you should do, but then cheat and don't do it themselves. So they set up rules for you because they know they're not going to obey the very rules that they're creating.
Newt, I want to play one soundbite from President Biden today, where, again, he thinks this is all a messaging problem. So they're trying out new messaging. Watch.
We have to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. I mean, this is from the bottom of my heart. We're united. There's nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. We're the only nation as a student in history that I can find that's come out of every crisis we've entered stronger than we went in.
Well, Newt, that's just false. The polls show that people think we're not better off than we were in 2019 before the pandemic. We're worse off by almost every measure.
But I agree with his conclusion that after we defeat Biden and we defeat the weird left, we will, in fact, come out of this in the next 10 years dramatically stronger. It's just not the outcome he expects. Look, this is a guy who, for some reason, sold out to the hard left on everything. I mean, that's how you end up with a transgender day on Easter. I mean, you know how hard it is to make a mistake like that? You go down every single front, he's doing things that make no sense. Doubling and tripling down on electric vehicles when the American people are saying every way they know how. It's a 6% market. It's not a 100% market.
Newt, it's so great to see you. You and I remember California when they had Republican governors and the state was like surfing USA all the time. All right, Newt, great to see you.